so that we would not repeat the mistakes. And at least something positive could come from that. So maybe it's possible that for some of these questions, what I would fellowship would be more from my learning, not what not to do. I can tell you what not to do. Yeah. So at least I'll eliminate some mistakes for you. I may not be able to tell you exactly what to do, but I can give you some tips what not to do. Yeah. And, of course, along with our experience goes along with the principles in the Word. And, which, on one hand, we may have learned on our own. On the other hand, a great learning from both Brother Nee's and Brother Lee's ministry. That book that we highlighted before, Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life, I think you're all aware that those are not dedicated messages that Brother Nee or Brother Lee spoke 26 messages on this topic. That has 26 chapters, right, that book. It's a compilation of excerpts. So a little bit here, a little bit there. Just like what was embedded into your outline, that quotation about the, from the ultimate significance about, you know, gain the 10,000 children, and I gave you the history. Every now and then, Brother Lee would be giving a message on a certain topic and then talk about the children or the parents or the young people. So those were compiled, except for maybe four chapters in that book are really maybe five dedicated messages, like the chapters on the teachers training. Those are actually summaries of four messages. The two chapters are summaries of four messages that he gave for the Summer School of Truth. And then there are two chapters on how to lead the young people, parts one and two. That was one message Brother Lee gave. And then in the parents section, I think it's chapter 8, a lot of that is derived from Brother Nee's lesson on parenting. He did give one chapter. I really recommend to go back and read the whole chapter. Many principles are mentioned there. Many principles. Then we need to learn the principles, all of which are based on the scripture. But then we need to know how to apply in our situation. And you may apply in one way, in your situation, your child, and I may apply in a different way, in my situation, with my child, or with these young people. Actually, you may apply a different way to two of your children, because they are different and the situation is a little bit different. So anyway, the things that we fellowship here, nothing is intended to be a kind of a standard, kind of a law, not to be anything legal. We just try to fellowship from our experience. So I hope that this is the kind of atmosphere we can have. Anyway, we have some very good questions. We're going to take probably about 45 or 50 minutes to answer as many of the questions here. And then for the last 15 minutes, and we're going to take our break at 5:30, so we have about an hour. For the last 15 minutes, there is something on my heart I want to fellowship with you that goes along with all the fellowship which we touched upon last night, and that is the matter of having the quality personal time with the Lord. And I think actually if we could help you with this, we could help you to get your answers yourself in many points. But let's see. So from the beginning, I would apologize in case we don't get to all the questions. I think we can surely do the majority in these 45 minutes. Okay. Of course, a few of them are on the same category, so we can put them together. There does seem to be some interest among some of you concerning what to do about video games. Yeah, video games. Children and video games. Let me just Let me read this one. It says, I feel that my son has more energy in playing games online, video games, than going to the meetings. Does that sound familiar? How do I help this situation as a parent? I don't think there's one answer, and I would say maybe not a simple answer. I think there are three or four matters involved here. Three or four matters. Surely we would not recommend stop playing, go to the meeting. Okay, you have your authority. You have your authority. And we do hope they are in the meeting. But such a tactic will not help for them to have an open heart in the meeting, nor will it help your relationship. So I would say these are the things that we need to take care of or try to take care of. Okay. One matter is proper humanity, which includes self-control and self-restriction. Children get addicted not only to video games. Children get addicted to texting, just texting, to staying in contact. You know, we didn't have this. Even 10 years ago, it was not like this. Surely, when we were children, we didn't have these kind of modern things. All these modern things are actually very beneficial and can be used for the Lord's interest, and also to bolster, to nurture family life. For example, there's this thing called GroupMe. GroupMe, I don't know if you're familiar with that, where you can have group texts. So my family, my three children, and my children-in-law, we have a text, a group. And we have communication. Like yesterday, lots of communication. That's something that can strengthen family life. Strengthen family life. But it can also kill family life. Because the whole family is not included. It's just this child with their group. This child with their group. So, and I've seen this, actually, I know my family's been guilty of this. We go to dinner with our children and their spouses, and then everyone's around the table on their phone. Many families end up like this. Actually, I observe this in restaurants. You could see there could be four people and all four are engaged in it. And they're not playing a game together. They're not texting each other. They're all, maybe one's checking the sports. One is checking the news. One's updating Facebook. And the other one's checking Twitter. So these things could destroy the family life. Okay. Anyway, let me come back to this point. Restriction. Self-control. Now, when do you work on that? When they're two. When they're three, when they're five. And we have to try to train them to have self-control. So that we can tell them, okay, you can watch this for 30 minutes. You can play that for 1 hour because your chores are done. Then they can do that. And after 1 hour, they know to stop. That is not a wild imagination. You can actually train children to be this way. But it has to begin when they're younger. So I know that I'm not answering the saint who wrote this because their child is already there. But what I'm trying to give you a broader view. And I'm trying to help the parents who have the little children work on this now. work on this now. And actually, just as this morning we mentioned that we're sowing tiny seeds, actually, positively, we're sowing tiny seeds too. And by restricting them in certain things, you're actually doing something for their benefit when they turn 10 or 13 or 15. By restricting them now in these kind of things. So one matter is the building up in them the proper humanity. It actually comes to play here. Now, another point is that this saint is saying their child is not interested in the church meeting. Not interested, actually, young people's meeting. And you know what? Some of our young people's meetings are not interesting. And we have to admit that. And we should reconsider. Don't blame everything on the devil. Sometimes we're just boring. And we should consider in our children's work, and I will talk more about this tonight when we talk about giving the lesson. Sometimes if you would take a step back and objectively evaluate what is going on in this setting with our young people, I don't know if you would laugh or cry, but it actually is not that encouraging. And you can sympathize with the children, why they're not interested. So I think we need to make our meetings more interesting. Maybe then this young person would be more interested. Now, I don't mean, you know, let's bring video games into the meeting. We'll do a corporate video game. No, that's not what I mean. I mean that we need to learn how to present the truth, present the word in a way that interests people. And for this, I would recommend that everyone read these chapters called Teacher's Training in our book. Or just read the four messages, the Teacher's Training. In that book, Teacher's Training, you would think, oh, but that's for the Summer School of Truth. I want to help my child get delivered from video games. Okay, I'm answering the same question. In that fellowship, Brother Lee talks about presenting the truth in a way that you apply the truth to the young people or to whoever you're speaking to, in a way to give them an experiential impression of the truth. You speak in a way that touches their experience. We have to learn how to do that. It takes practice, but it's doable. And even we as parents must learn the same thing. I've seen the situation over and over again. And this has been for the past more than 40 years, where parents really love the Lord and they really love their children, but they don't know how to communicate the Lord to their children. It's too, pardon me for using this expression, too pushy. Too pushy. You're trying to force feed the child with the spiritual things without having developed a human relationship with them. And it's very difficult to do that. And this is another part of this. I'm going to get to that. The communication and relationship of the parent and the child. But what I'm talking about first here is the meeting. In the meeting, the serving saints all must endeavor to present the truth in a way that the young people want to come to these meetings. They feel, I get something from you. And you can do that without changing the nature of the meeting. I know in some places, to try to interest the young people, what they've done in the past is change the style of music. Oh, be careful not to bring in the leaven. Don't bring in the leaven. And they try other things to interest the young people. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is to still use the pure word, but learn to speak to young people in a way that they find interesting. That they may even feel, how did you know? How did you know? I've heard this in some of the conferences. I would share something, and then I know there are some people in the audience. They think, Brother Ron told them. Brother Ron told Brother Ricky something about me and my family. Actually, no. We had no talk about you. But I know young people. And I know what you go through. So, based on others' experiences, you just apply something. And it touches something in people. And they respond. You can learn this. You can learn this. So, first, proper humanity. Second, applying the truth in the way of experience. That's on the serving one side. Third, also on the serving one side, our young people's work should have as its central part not the meetings, but personal shepherding. Personal shepherding should be the centerpiece of our young people's work. There's another publication, How to Lead the Young People. In that message, Brother Lee says, if you ask me how to start a work with the young people, how to start a work with the young people, he says, I would say with no meetings for 1 year. No meetings for 1 year. Then what are you going to do? How do you take care of them? Precisely. That's the point. Spend time with them outside of the meeting. Get to know them. Establish relationships with them. And he says, the first 10 times you contact them, don't bring up anything about the Lord. Oh, you may say, what are we going to talk about? So he encourages us, study the young people. Learn their problems. Study the society to know, what do young people go through these days? What are their interests these days? Maybe you need to talk to them about video games. Actually, I was in another place. We had a Q&R. What I told the saints there, I had a feeling it was a mother. I had a feeling it was a mom that asked the question. And I suggested to her, why don't you sit down with your son and play the video game? Why don't you learn the video game? I think it'd be easier to get him to go to the meeting if you play with him a little bit more. And that comes to this point. It's really on the line of shepherding, but now it's really on the side of the parents. Parents, we need to always bridge the gap between us and our children. You know, as the children get older, a distance starts to form. You have to notice that and always bring it back. You know, when they're little and you come home from work, don't they? Daddy! Oh. Yeah, my daughters don't do that anymore. My daughters don't do that. Actually, I would say they do it more now when they're in their 20s. One's married, the other one's engaged to be married. You know, they're older. Now, there's more, yeah. But when they were teenagers, they might be sitting at the table. I walk in, you go, hey, Dad. What happened to that? Daddy! What happened to that? Well, they grew up. They grew up. But we need to exercise to close that gap again. Close that gap. And continue to know them. And know their interests. And know their discouragements. And know their failures. And go through their failures with them. And pass through their accomplishments with them. One sister, it may have actually been the sister that had wrote that other comment or question. After I shared this, she gave a testimony, and she realized that she missed a kind of opportunity. One time, she was at home on the phone, and she was having fellowship with a sister. And her daughter came into the room, and the daughter either did not realize or didn't care that the mother was on the phone, and said, "Mom, I gotta tell you about this movie I just saw." And then the mother, she described to us the sour face that she made toward her daughter to let her know, "I'm on the phone, and I really don't want to hear about your movie anyway." Because, you know, according to the sister, that's not sanctified, that's, you know. So she didn't want to be, she told us, this is her word, she didn't want to be defiled by that. And so her daughter went to her room. And when she looked back, she realized that from that point forward, a number of years had passed from that experience, but in the meeting, the Lord shined on that experience. From that point forward, a distance came between her and her daughter. We have opportunities that are afforded us to listen to them, to understand them, to be with them, to be alongside them. It doesn't mean you go to the movie with them. Maybe that's something you just don't have the peace to do. But you can listen to them. You can appreciate their excitement over this. You don't necessarily have to agree with everything in the movie. But the movie is not the important thing. The important thing is, do you have their heart? Do you have their heart? So, anyway, maybe that's enough on this. If I answer everyone like this, we only answer three questions. But I hope you get my point. This shows that there's something has accumulated. Something has accumulated. Something with this child and the church life and the young people's meeting. Maybe there's not enough shepherding. Maybe if the serving brothers would come and my son. Maybe the serving brothers would reach out to this boy and before the young people's meeting offer to take him to eat dinner and spend time with him. He would, even just for the brother's sake, even just for the dinner, go to the meeting. Well, you know, we've gained a lot of people over food. And a lot of the Lord's ministry, if you read the Gospels, is around dinner table. So, even that is a way. Maybe shepherding is lacking. Maybe the communication between parents and children is lacking here. So, anyway, I just mentioned that much. So that was actually two questions. Some of these things, another question related to this was not just video games, but social media. What should be our attitude to social media? Yeah, I really would prefer they would shut down Facebook. I really prefer. That's just personally. But on the other hand, I've known some saints who got in touch with their high school friends after 30 years on Facebook and then preach the gospel to them. So, what can I say? All these things can be tools properly for the Lord, but the enemy can use everything. It's just like when Moses held that staff and God told him, throw the staff on the ground. And then it became a serpent. And you have to realize the serpent is hidden in everything. And everything that you depend on and lean on, the serpent could be there biting you, poisoning you. So maybe we need to teach such a lesson to our young people and let them know Facebook is a serpent, but it can also be a tool. Even just the email, even Twitter, Instagram, I don't know, maybe even Instagram can be used. Flickr, they all maybe can be used, something for the Lord. But it depends on your heart. Depends on your heart. Okay. Okay. Concerning the neighborhood children's meeting, here's another question. What is the best way to approach in inviting the children to the meetings? Do we approach the parents for permission first, considering today's environment? Okay. A very good question, and this is a lot easier. We need transparency in this matter. We need to let people know exactly what we're doing. We're not hiding anything. We're not deceiving people. And we're not proselytizing. We're not proselytizing. We're just offering something. We're offering something. We're offering an environment in which the children can learn something about God and get built up in their humanity. That's what we're offering. Yeah. Now, out of that could come that the children get attached to us and eventually we preach the gospel to them. Out of that could come that the parents are interested in the Lord, like those four families I told you that came into the church in Hamilton, New Zealand. But we're not running there so fast. All we're doing is offering an environment for the children to come learn about God. And we make it very clear, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We are Christians. And we've had Jewish children come to our meeting. We've had Muslim children come to our meeting. We've had Hindu children come to our meeting. Why? Because the parents like the humanity part. All the parents like their children to learn good things. Yeah. We've also had the case where after a few weeks, the mother realized, oh, you're not Catholic, so I can't send my children, and they pull them out. We don't react, we don't say, we've tried to be clear from the beginning. We are Christians. We're Christians. We didn't say we were Catholic. We said we're Christians. We've had cases where After a week, the mother had pulled them out, the father sent them back. This happened. Why? Because the children miss it so much. We've had another case similar to this. The mother pulled them out, the father sent them back. Then the mother got upset, and then she pulled them out again. And then the father sent them back again. Then the mother called. Oh, the sister got a little concerned, afraid when the mother called. And then the mother said, listen, I just want to let you know, it's okay with me. Why? Because when my children are with you, they're the best. They learn the good things and they behave. And ever since I pulled them out, they don't behave as well. So the parents are drawn to this matter of proper humanity. Okay. So let them know this is what we offer. And as I illustrated this morning, the sisters, many of the places, they just prepare a little pamphlet like this. And sometimes our own children draw them. They draw the invitation. Some sisters have done really nice. They actually have printed something. It's very professional. And also always has their contact information. That is of the hosting mom. Yeah. So, moms, you have to be willing to receive these calls and talk to people. Okay. But we prepare this either however it's done professionally. It could be just something printed on the copy machine at the hall or at work. In some cases, the children have prepared, drawn something. So each one is different. And they leave a space for dear, and then they write their friend's name, Jeff. Dear Tommy. And then I would like to invite you to, and then they sign their name. But then the mommy's name and address and number are there for contact. And we expect the parents to contact us. So yes, and especially in today's environment, has to be very transparent. Very transparent. Also, in our homes, when other children come, we have to keep certain principles, such as never going into the bathroom with the child. when the child, even in our children's meetings, we shouldn't do that. We have to be very careful, everything transparent, so that there could never be any accusation of anything. So, unfortunately, we have to talk about some of these things in the current age, where we have to protect ourselves and the church from any kind of even a cloud of accusation. So we have to be careful in those things. So that's why I say transparency. The safest thing is contact the parents. But you could do that through a brochure, and then let the parents call you. But eventually, we have to have contact with all the parents. And saints, eventually, that's the goal. That's the goal. Because we're praying that through this contact, the Lord would bring families into the church life. But don't expect a quick result, and don't push. Don't push. We will find the open ones. We will find the open ones through this. Okay. Did I answer everything? Yes. Okay. Is there a children's Bible storybook or publisher that you would recommend? Not really. No, not really. I would say you be or become the children's storyteller. Now, there are some brothers, who are actually endeavoring in this area, and there are some local churches in different places who are trying to come up with children's stories. They're trying to write something pure. It's very difficult to find something pure, to find something without leaven. Because, you see, if you're going to write a story, if you're going to write out a story, everything's supposed to be based on the Bible. Okay. But whatever story you have in the Bible, okay, if that's not good enough, that means you want something embellished. You want it as a story that you can read to your children. Okay. To translate this story in the Bible into a story that you would read to children, you have to add words. And you have to kind of fill in the picture with different things. And it's very possible you go a little bit too far and put in something that's not really there. And you don't realize it's just your concept. Now, it's one thing if you're telling a story and you can say, don't you think that, you know, like what I said this morning concerning Acts chapter 2. With the homes going house to house church life. And I said, can't you imagine that there were children there? Okay. Well, you can speak that way and you understand what I'm saying. My point is, I think there were children there. And I'm trying to convince you. Don't you think there were children there? It's logical to think there were children there. Now, if you write a story and you say, in the first century of the church, there were many children among the saints. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because you don't know. Or you would say, there was a little boy named John in the church in Jerusalem. And Johnny, you see my point? You have to add something that's not really there. Okay, now you can write another story that shows some principle of the Bible. That's safer. But this is asking for Bible stories. It's very difficult to find something that has no leaven. So, I would say the simplest solution is read the Bible and just tell the children the story. And make it very interesting. Okay, we're going to illustrate this a little more tonight. So, anyway, I'll just say that much. This is another excellent one. How do we start a children's service coordination? I'm very interested in the background of this question. How do we start? The implication, of course, is that in your local church, there is no children's coordination. Well, I think I would say these two or three things. Number one, can you guess what number one's going to be? Yes. So I don't have to say anything about that. The first thing, of course, is always pray. Pray. Pray for the church. Pray for all the children that you're in the church life. Of course, in a small church, that may just be four children. Blessed are you if you only have four children. You can actually pray for them every day by name. In my locality, I think the roster is probably 220, something like that, 220. We have, I think, about 150 in one locality. Not that they all come. That's on the, remember the 4,000 plus the 4,000? Yeah. There are some that are not coming, but I think their names are still on the roster, probably 150. And then I know in the two districts I'm involved with, let me see, we were one district, and then we grew, and then we sent out. And so we had about 45 children, and it was about 22. And I think both have grown to about 30 now, or 35. Yeah, in the course of 2 years. So it's probably about 220 children. Oh, that's many names. Many names. I hope someone's praying for every child, at least every week, if not every day. But if your place you have four children, blessed are you. Maybe you have 15 children. Still very blessed are you, because you can pray. You can have the names of all the children on your refrigerator. You can put the names right above the sink, so that as you're washing, the names of all the children are there, and you could remember, and you could pray for every family. Just pray. Then pray for the elders. Pray for the leading ones. Pray that the church would have the burden. Then how do you start? I don't know. But I think it comes out of the prayer. It comes just like in Acts 13. There were in the church in Antioch five brothers ministering to the Lord and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I will send them." So the prayer, the ministering to the Lord, was first. Out of that, the Lord gave a leading what to do. Maybe the leading would be find some other sister to pray with. So you pray and then ask, "Lord, who can I pray with for this burden?" And maybe the Lord would put two sisters on your heart. And then you ask them, "Sister, would you pray with me for this burden?" And then two or three of you pray. Pray maybe for 2 or 3 months. Now, do you have to wait before you do anything? No, you don't have to wait. You could start. You could start to gather the children. There is another question. Do we have to wait to ask the elders what to do? I forgot where. Yes, when we begin, this is a different question. When we begin a home meeting, neighborhood children's meeting, do we have to fellowship first with the brothers, or can we just begin? I would say yes. Yes and yes. I would say, why not fellowship with the brothers? But what if all the brothers are in Itero, in Brazil, but you have a burden to do something this week? There's no law that you can't start something. Why not? It's your home. You could do something there. But why not, as soon as they get back, have fellowship with them and then be open for adjustment? Amen? Why not fellowship? But no, there's no law that you have to wait and so on. That's something in your home. Now, please note, the other question was, a service coordination. This is really talking about children's meeting in the church. There are two types of children's meeting. One is in the church. The other one is in your home, neighborhood children's meeting. If you're going to do something with the children in the church, you must have fellowship with the brother. You must have fellowship. But I would say pray. Pray for a period of time. And then, not only fellowship with the brothers, I would tell you, yeah, tomorrow morning we will be looking at a particular lesson in which Brother Lee says that the sisters should bother the brothers about this burden. I would say even in a proper way, nag the brothers. You know this word, N-A-G? Nag means, what? Nag is when your little child says, mommy, 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 shh, shh, mommy. They don't give up, and they don't give up. That's nag. That's nag. I would say, and I remember, sisters, I said, in a proper way. I didn't talk about nagging your husband. I said, just nag the elder for the burden of the children. And brothers, 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 when will we begin? Brothers, what should we do? Brothers, when will we have fellowship? That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Then I would say to the brothers, brothers, don't wait for the sisters to nag. Gather the saints and say, sisters, who among you will pick up the burden? I hope after tomorrow morning's lesson, we can have something like that. So I hope that suffices. Okay. Here's another question. This one also very important. How do I lead my children into enjoying the Lord when my child is younger than 5 years old? Okay, please pay careful attention to this. How do I lead my children into enjoying the Lord? My children's age is less than 5 years old. Please listen. I hope you listen to this question, and please listen to my answer. Yeah. You don't. You don't. You don't lead them into the enjoyment of the Lord. Not at that age. You do lead them to know God. To know God. You do lead them even to have a fear of God in a proper way. Respect God. You can lead them, you lead them to appreciate the Creator. The Creator. That when they see outside, that's green. That's green. That bush. Who made green? Who invented green? God. So they have an appreciation. God. Who did that? God. Oh, the sky. Blue. Green. The flower. Red. God. God did that. So there's an awareness, there's a realization, there's an appreciation. But we don't have the young children. Okay, let's call on the Lord. Exercise your spirit. No, no. This we don't agree. This we don't agree. Not at that age. The children surely have a spirit. The children surely have a spirit. But the part of their spirit that you want to activate at that age is not the fellowship. It is only the conscience. So we want to awaken their conscience. Our children should have a very alive conscience. A very alert, very active, very sensitive conscience. But to tell them, let's call on the Lord. We're going to talk about this tonight. We're going to repeat this phrase tonight very much. Premature knowledge. Which could damage them. It could damage them. By the time they're 8 years old, they may not have an interest for the Lord. Please pay attention to this point. If not, by the time they're 13 or 17, they may not want the Lord. At that age, the children will follow you. They will copy you. That's how children learn, by imitation. By imitation. But you, and no doubt, I'm sure, all of your children, they actually call on the Lord. They some of them around the table, when we pray to thank the Lord for the food, they may even, "Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood." They don't know what they're talking about. And actually, we don't encourage them to pray using such terms that are beyond their experience. It would be very good if they would say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for my family, and thank you for the food, and thank you for my grandma, and thank you for my dog, and thank you for my fish, and thank you for the peas, and thank you for the carrots, and thank you for the rice." And, you know, they go on, and thank you for everything, and you want to say, "Enough! Good, 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 let's eat." But it's good that they pray. They can pray. We should encourage them to pray. Actually, every human being should pray to God. But it's one thing to pray to God as our Creator. It's a different thing to pray to the Lord as our Savior, who is our life, who is our bridegroom, and we have an intimate relationship with Him. Now, we want all our children to enter into such a relationship. But when they need some amount of maturity and understanding. Now, generally, that comes sometime after the age of 8 or 9. More so about 11 or 12. But personally, I could tell you, I received the Lord when I was 7. And I remember that. I remember that very clearly. I could describe the events of that night to you very clearly. But I would also say, after that experience, I do not remember one spiritual experience until the day of my baptism. 5 years later. I was saved at 7, but my mother did not let me get baptized. That happened when I was 12. And from my baptism, oh, I remember so many things of my spiritual experience. So I wouldn't say that I was saved too early or I was saved prematurely. No. That was the right time for me. But even after I was saved, my sister and my mother did not guide me into the premature spiritual knowledge. They just left me there. And I just, as a child, and at the right time, was baptized. We have to be careful not to foster the premature knowledge. This will damage kids later. What will happen later is that, or could happen later, is that the children will have the feeling, "I know everything already. I know everything already. I did that already. I heard that already." And then they have no heart. They have no heart. Or when they get into maybe junior high school or the high school, or they're in the church meeting, in the prophesying meeting, and saints are talking about, "Oh, saints, this week I just enjoyed calling on the Lord. He's rich to all who call." But your little child, they started calling when they were 4. And then we were encouraging them. But now they are 14. And the calling, what they would say is, doesn't work anymore. I've heard young people say, "That doesn't work." Why? Well, there could be several reasons. But one reason surely could be we started too young. And they did not enter into the proper experience from the beginning. If your children with the adults in the group meeting. And some of our localities are small, and there's a very pleasant, home-like atmosphere. The children are just there among us, and we hear them calling. I'm not saying tell them, stop calling, that's premature. No, don't do that. But you don't have to encourage them. And you surely don't have to say, come on, use your spirit. But saints, I'm telling you this because I do know that some brothers actually promote this. They promote this concerning the children. And Brother Tom and I have had a lot of fellowship over this. We feel this is rather dangerous. This is rather dangerous. Of course, we would respect whatever any family feels to do with their children. We would not criticize. We would not criticize if certain parent wants to raise their children spiritually before the Lord a certain way. We just share our feeling, and we tell you in this, we're sharing with you what Brother Lee and Brother Nee teach concerning the children. This is in line with what Brother Nee and Brother Lee teach. But we would say, maybe a family wants to carry on that way, don't bring this to the children's meeting of the church. Then we have to say, stop. No. Maybe a certain mother likes to call on the Lord with their child. Then that's fine. We will not criticize. We will not even talk about it, much less criticize. But that sister should not come to the children's meeting and get all the children in the children's meeting to call on the Lord. No, that's overstepping. And there, we have to step in and say, no, don't lead the children this way. Yeah. I hope you understand. There's a difference. In the household, you must answer to the Lord for your children. We're just trying to help as much as we can. Yeah. But we have a certain responsibility with all the children of the church. So, I'm very happy that this question came up, and I hope you could understand our feeling. We want the children to love the Lord. Even when they're 3 years old, they can love the Lord. But when you say, enjoy the Lord, at least I understand that you're talking about singing, praying, calling, pray reading. We don't agree with pray reading with the children. Yet, we feel you should pray and read with your children. You understand? Actually, when my children were in elementary school, I think maybe my son was already in the middle school, but maybe not. Maybe they're all in the same school. And in the mornings, my wife and I, we would actually read a chapter of the New Testament with them. And we'd pray for the day. And everyone would pray. Mommy, daddy, big brother, little sister. Everyone would pray. And then we read. The little one couldn't read. Four of us would read. Everybody read a verse. So we pray and read. But no application. No interpretation. We just read the Bible so that they're familiar with the Bible. Basically, that they know the stories of the Bible. But we don't have to necessarily apply the Bible. And again, we'll illustrate more tonight with this. So anyway, I hope you could understand. Okay. What to do when your husband and... Okay, in this case... Okay, in this case, there's a spouse and one of the children are offended. Apparently, it seems like they were in the church life, but now are offended and really reject the things of the Lord. So basically, how can I bring up the subject of the Spirit? And so, I would say the answer maybe would be in the fellowship I want to give you after the question. That is, in your personal fellowship with the Lord, you have to consider, Lord, shall I bring something to them? Shall I say something to them? You know, sometimes the Lord might say no. Just live. Just live. Just live in the Spirit. Don't talk about the Spirit. For my father, of course, it's a different case because I think this is talking about a brother in the Lord who was going on, but now not going on. So different case, I know. But my father was saved 35 years after my mother. So my mother got saved, and she and my sister started praying for my father. And he was saved 35 years later. They got saved the same year. First my sister, she was 6. Then my mother. Then, 4 years later, I was born. And then when I was 31, I led my father to the Lord. So, for a great part of the time, I was there. And my siblings all got married very young. So, I was home with my parents, kind of as an only child for a long time. And I could see. There were times that my mother tried to force my father with the gospel. Every time he rejected. Every time. But I also saw that there were times when my mother lived under the cross and said nothing. But lived the Lord. I could testify. She lived Christ. When she lived Christ, there was an atmosphere in my home. There was no tension. There was no disappointment either. Surely, she wanted my father to be saved. But she was at peace. She was at peace. And in time, the Lord answered her prayer. In time. Yes, it took 35 years. Just like it took 80 years for Moses to be ready. Sometimes, dear saints, it just takes time. And it's best not to say anything. It's best not to say anything. I know there's desperation in the heart of such a sister. I've encountered that desperation many, many, many times. But I would say, sometimes it's just best to live Christ and continue to pray. And pray for your son that the Lord would visit him. Visit him. We have to trust our prayer. And then maybe the Lord would open an opportunity. I'll come back to this in the fellowship that I'd like to give to you. I think this is in the same vein. This mentions that have six children all born again, and 2 are going on in the church life. But the other 4, they don't speak against. It says they agree with what I see, but there's no result. I see no result. How to touch their heart to turn them to the Lord? In the publication, How to Enjoy God and How to Practice the Enjoyment of God. This publication. This is some ministry from 1958. And the book is really on eating and drinking the Lord. This is when Brother Lee released this truth on eating the Lord. Okay. In that book, there are 2 chapters. Chapters 5 and 12. These 2 chapters that speak about how to have the personal fellowship with the Lord. And in that In that chapter, I forget which of the two chapters, Brother Lee brings out Psalm 27:4. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of Jehovah, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. And this verse, uses these two words, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. In principle, our time with the Lord can be summarized by these two words. When we're spending the personal time with the Lord, we should not rush to inquiring. Inquiring is asking. Our first priority should be beholding. Beholding. We come to the Lord just to behold. We have a song, hymn 812. Just to behold thy face. Actually, just take that song. Pray over that song. And you will learn how to behold. You just behold. Just tell the Lord, I just want you. You're my goal. You're my aim. Okay, then when do you inquire? When do you inquire? When do you go from beholding to inquire? Well, you have to inquire about when you should inquire. You know, to inquire is just to ask. So, he encourages us in that chapter. You're praying, Lord, I love you. Lord, fill me. Lord, I give myself to you. Now suppose there's a sister. Her husband is sick. She might pray, Lord, and Lord, heal my husband. Okay. How does the sister know that the Lord wants to heal her husband? Maybe that's not the Lord's will. So Brother Lee says, she should pray this way. Lord, shall I pray for my husband now? Shall I pray for my husband? And maybe the Lord would say, no, not now. Now, just pay attention to me. Keep beholding me. You say, amen, Lord, amen. So I put that aside. Lord, I love you. Lord, I enjoy you. Maybe you sing a hymn. Maybe you read another verse. After some time, you would say, Lord, shall I pray for my husband now? Maybe you have the feeling, it's okay now to pray for your husband. Lord, heal my husband! No, you shouldn't pray that. You should say, Lord, shall I pray for my husband? The Lord says, yes, it's okay to pray for your husband. Then you should say, Lord, how shall I pray for my husband? How shall I pray? Shall I pray for his healing? Or shall I just pray that your will would be done? Or shall I pray that he would gain you in this situation? And shall I pray that all our children would gain you through this situation, no matter what happens? Or shall I pray, Lord, recover all our children through this sickness? Maybe the Lord would allow that brother, this is there, printed, to pass. But through that, the children's hearts would be recovered. Maybe that would be the Lord's will. You don't know. So, I would answer these last two questions with this. We should just pray, Lord, shall I speak something? Shall I speak to my children? Shall I speak to my son? Shall I speak to my husband or my wife? Maybe the Lord would say, no, not today. Today, just enjoy me. And then after this time together, live me. And come back tomorrow. Then you come back tomorrow. Lord, shall I pray for my husband? And the Lord will say, no. Forget your husband. Just focus on me. Enjoy me. And then may it suffice to live me for this day. And maybe the Lord would keep you there for 5 years. Or maybe there'd be the peace to say something. But then you should say, Lord, what shall I say? And then I think you should also add, Lord, how shall I say it? And then maybe you should also add, Lord, when should I say it? This song was written by David, King David. And in David's life, there are some examples that show us that this was not just something he wrote, but this is something he practiced. I believe it's in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It says something to the effect, I forget which group, it may have been the Philistines that he was fighting, and he says, Lord, shall I go up against them? And Jehovah says, you shall go up. And then David says, how shall I go up? By what way shall I go up? And Jehovah says, you shall go up by this way. And then David says, will you deliver them into my hand? Oh, it's good to know the answer to this third question before you embark on your journey. So he kept inquiring. Is the living of dependence. Living by the tree of life. Living by the tree of life. In our fellowship with the Lord, we should have an attitude of inquiry. And by that, I mean not just in praying for things, but even in what to do. You know, at the beginning, we generally call on the Lord. We generally pray something. And then we open the Word, the pray read. Or, of course, many of us have the book now, the Holy Word for Morning Revival. They open it to read the verses. But we should have a sense, a feeling of inquiring. What shall I do? So as we're praying, we do encourage the matter of calling the Lord, calling on the Lord. Why? Actually, this will help to take captive every thought. You know, last night we talked about this, that in the personal fellowship with the Lord, it seems the most troubling matter is the wandering mind. I have been studying this matter for more than 25 years, here and there, checking with saints, and of all ages. And I found out, this is universal. This is universal. I used to think I was the only one. I used to think only I had this problem. And so, you're praying, and it's so interesting. It's so interesting. Something you should have remembered yesterday. It was important, but you forgot. When do you remember? Oh, Lord Jesus, I can't believe I forgot. Because it happened yesterday during morning revival as well. And then after morning revival, you forgot. You're supposed to contact that person, send that email, take care of that bill, something. But right at this moment, it's like, oh Lord Jesus. What one brother, I've heard a number of saints do this now. They leave a piece of paper there with a pen. Right. Oh, they just write it down. Amen, Lord Jesus. And then they just go on in peace. And then as soon as morning revival time's over, then they take care of the list. Actually, I even joke with the saints. If you want to really try to remember something, go have personal prayer with the Lord. And Satan will help you. He'll be a little servant to you to remind you of all the things you're supposed to remember. So, oh, thank you, Mr. Satan. And then you write that down. And then you just continue with the Lord. But what happens is we're praying and one thought, like a fiery dart. Isn't this the way it is? It's like a fiery dart. Just, oh, comes. Now, that takes us maybe for 90 seconds or 2 minutes. Then we realize, oh, we come back. Don't repent. Don't repent. Just return. Don't repent. Don't waste time confessing that thought. Because that's not your thought. 2 Corinthians. We talked about 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 yesterday. 2 Corinthians 2:11. This verse says, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices, schemes, stratagems. Different translations have these words. But this word, stratagems, schemes, devices, they come from the root word thought. So you could translate, and I believe the original recovery version was, we are not ignorant of his thoughts. You could translate this way. They are his thoughts. Those are Satan's thoughts that are injected to you. You don't have to think his thoughts. You know, there's a saying, you can't prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Sounds like a Chinese proverb or something. I don't know. But do you get the point? The birds fly over your head. You can't do anything about them. Thoughts will come, but you just, like when the mosquito comes, you just swat it away. You don't have to be bothered. It doesn't mean the thoughts won't come. You could be praying and then after a while, you know what will happen? You will just laugh at the enemy. Not today. Not today. Not today. And you don't even bother with that thought. Because you've learned what? To set your mind on your spirit. Set the mind on the spirit. And what's a good way? The three ways. Calling, praying, singing. Singing. Actually, singing is maybe the easiest and most pleasant way. Don't you ever wake up with a song in your heart? I find that that is like the Lord calling me to fellowship. So that song, what was the song this morning? The song that came to my heart as soon as I woke up was, oh, the riches, oh, the riches Christ my Savior has for me. So as I was taking a shower and getting ready, this is all before morning revival. So I was enjoying this. Then I sat down to have my morning revival and I realized, wait. I was praying what I remembered. Then I opened and I sang the song. And as I was singing, it was particularly one verse that really refreshed me. Now I can't remember. But it talks about, I may now apply. I may now apply. That's like the last sentence. It's verse 3 or 4. And then in the chorus, right? Oh, the riches, Christ my Savior has for me. How unsearchable the measure, yet my full reality. Oh, they're unsearchable, but they can be my reality. Oh, I wanted to tweet that right then and there. I even looked at my phone. I was gonna tweet it right then and there. That was a temptation. Then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Do it later. I haven't done it yet. It wasn't that important. That was Satan's thought, actually. So I rejected it. Do you have it open there? Did you find it? Okay. But anyway, so I enjoyed this. Then, I had a feeling. Wait. There's another hymn with this tune about the priesthood. And so, that's 858 that I wanted to call this morning. And so then I turned to that one, that hymn, because I know that. And so I started singing. Then I realized this is what the Lord was trying to speak to me. So He put that tune in my heart, but I sang the wrong song. Well, it's not the wrong song, but you know, there was a journey to get to the point that the Lord wanted to lead me to. And I enjoyed something along the way. But you see, saints, that's the principle of inquiring. And I didn't say, no, I can't sing another hymn. I have to pray read the verse, else it's not an official morning walk. I don't know if you ever had that thought. Yeah. Can you read verse 3? Verse 3? Salvation? Yeah. Amen. That's not the one. Next one. Thank you, though. That was very good reading. Yes. Or their depth. Unmeasured. Yet they are my joy and strength. Oh, that was my refreshment this morning. His riches. They're so vast and immense, but they become my joy. You can't understand it. It's unfathomable. But it can be your joy. And when it's your joy, it's your strength. So I got fed before coming to the Word. Do you understand? I got more feeding from that than from my prayer reading this morning. That's the principle of inquiring. Be flexible. And let the Lord lead you in the anointing. Then, in our prayer reading, be flexible. And try your best to convert the words of the verse into your own prayer. So, when you're prayer reading, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can pray read the kind of echoing way, amen, you know, the way we do it corporately in the meeting. You can finish in less than 1 minute. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. The Word. Amen. Oh, the beginning. Amen. Was with God. Amen. Was God. Amen. Well, that's about, 22 seconds. Done. But not much fellowship with the Lord there. Not much inquiring there. How can you convert that? You say, Lord, in the beginning is the Word. Lord, please be my beginning today. Lord, this morning I begin with the Word. Thank you, Lord, that you are as the Word. You are my beginning today. Lord, and I pray, that today you would be the beginning of everything. Lord, be the beginning of everything I say. Be the beginning of everything I do. be the beginning of every act and action and attitude. Lord, and not only the beginning, Lord, I want you to be the end. I want to live you the whole day. No, the verse doesn't say end. This is not Alpha and Omega here. But I had a feeling. That thought came to me from the Spirit. Because I have a verse in me from long ago that He's the beginning and the end. That's Revelation 1. He's the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. So that just came from the treasure of the storehouse of the Word that's in my heart. The Spirit brought it up. Then I pray it. Lord, be my beginning. I might say, Lord, be my Alpha and my Omega. Be my A and be my Z. And be my B, C, D, E, F, and G. Everything. Be everything to me. And then I may have a feeling. Yesterday, was I your B and C and D? Remember what you did at lunchtime yesterday? Remember how you spoke to your coworker? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me. You were not my Alpha and Omega. Or the Lord may touch you. Was I your Omega last night? When you stayed up that late watching that TV program? I think you left me at W. You may have a feeling. Then, Lord, forgive me. Maybe for 10 minutes you're praying this, confessing. And actually, it's just one phrase. In the beginning was the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. Six words. You pray 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Maybe that's enough time. The next day, you come back to the same verse. And there's more there. You know, it's almost like an orange. When you squeeze the orange, you get the juice. You know, people squeeze oranges differently. When some squeeze, done, put it aside. Someone else can pick up that orange and get a lot more. We have to learn how to squeeze the orange. Okay, we better stop. Give you a break before dinner. I'm sorry I didn't get to, I still missed a couple of questions. Oh, there's one question about, I will answer this tonight, about reaching your grandchildren. Actually, if not tonight, then tomorrow morning. I will get to that point. But anyway, I apologize we didn't get to everything. But I hope that suffices. Amen. Amen. Could we have some prayers? Maybe we pray together. Just pray out loud according to the Lord's leading for a minute or two. Then I think the brothers will direct us. Okay? Amen.